Take your Bible tonight and open up to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. We're about to embark on our Wednesday night Bible studies into a long study on how to overcome Satan's attack, or better, I like to put it, how to live a victorious Christian life. In this study, we're going to learn what our enemies are, how the devil attacks us. We're going to learn what weapons God has given us, and there's going to be, I believe, 14 weapons that we're going to learn about that God has given us, and how we can have victory, and we're going to learn how to apply those weapons. And so it'll be very much a blessing to you if you'll come and follow the truths that we learn from the Word of God. So tonight we're going to start this by learning about the devil, the spiritual attack, how that we are more than conquerors. So Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. And the Bible say, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Let's pray. Father, I ask that You help us as we go through these Bible studies. Guide and direct us and help us to apply into our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan, from the very beginning of his existence, has wanted to do nothing less than to be God. Satan wants to be God. God, seeing his rebellion, cast him out of heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And then John, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can no longer be owned by the devil, possessed by Satan, or him have power over your eternity. And the fact is, he can't have power over you. God has given you and I the victory if we'll understand how to apply it in our physical life here on this earth. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it says this, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that ye may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me." So here we see that God's given us deliverance. He's given us power over Satan. And we got power from God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We are told not to let him have power over us, or give it back to him. So he had power over us before. Now we're saved. He no longer has power over us. And God doesn't want us to give him power over us again. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, it says these words, "Neither give place to the devil." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, our text verse tonight, says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us." God wants us to live a victorious life in Him while we walk on this earth. Victory is ours if we'll just allow God to be our personal leader and guide. All of this is easy to understand. The truth is, we understand that. But it's hard to apply to our life. When it comes to living the life we have, we don't spend much time of our life living and saying, "What does the Bible say that I should do?" Instead, most of the time, we just act. And that just acting gets us in more trouble than anything else. Our thoughts on everything are not like God's thoughts. So what can we do to change our life so we can respond correctly and quickly? This is what we're really going to start learning about. How to recognize or how to discern spiritual attacks. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Turn your Bible there. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 6. in verse number 12 says this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Most of our daily battles are really spiritual battles that we're either unaware of or ill-prepared to meet head-on. The study aims to change that for us. Again, look what it says: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, let me say this. The devil, or Lucifer, is our enemy. He is our first enemy. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Isn't that interesting? The rulers of the darkness of this world, that's Satan. In fact, let's take a look over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. I want to show you what it says here in Isaiah chapter 14 about Satan, about his beginning as Lucifer, when he started as Lucifer. In chapter 14 of Isaiah, in verse number 12, the Bible says this. We're going to read verse 12 through 15. "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which doth weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell, and to the sides of the pit." So really easily we see here that Satan became, who was Lucifer, became proud and rebellious, and he was kicked out of heaven. He was retained, if you will, as a source of temptation for mankind. If we turn to Jude 1, which Jude, of course, only has one chapter, Jude 1 and verse number 6, Jude 1 and verse number 6, and it says, "And the angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations. He hath reserved in the everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So the angels kept not their first estate. They left their habitation. Their own habitation was heaven. "He hath reserved them the everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of that great day." So God is telling you and I that those angels, the one third of the angels that followed Satan, are locked up, but some of them are out and about. They are copies of Satan. They're called devils, and they carry out actions against people. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 32, it says, "And when he was come to the other side of the country of Gennesaret, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, that no man might pass by that way. And behold, he crieth out, saying, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off of them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were cast out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down to a steep place under the sea and perished in the waters." So these devils are like puppets. They're at his beck and call. They do whatever he says. They go wherever he goes. He tells them to go. These are his servants, Satan's servants. Now remember, Satan wants to be God. He wants to sit on God's throne. He wants to rule over all mankind. He wants to rule over you. He wants to rule over me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and through 26 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So notice that the devil wants to take humanity captive and make himself God over them. But we're not supposed to do that. Christians have a measure of protection. We don't have to let them have us. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, we see Simon Peter. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we have a certain amount of protection that God gives you and I. The Christian must have ways to defend then our enemy when he attacks. So there are many ways for us to do this in our attacks. We have the devil has given us an attack. He has attacked you and I. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world and the flesh and the devil want to destroy you and I. They want to have power over you and I. They want to have power to overcome you and I. But the Bible tells us that he doesn't have to have that power. We can overcome the devil. He's our enemy, is true. However, we don't have to give in. So let's take a look at some of the things we can learn. Number one. We can battle the enemy. We can battle the enemy. Even though the world, the flesh, and the devil are after us, God tells us that we can overcome them. We can have the victory. Take your Bible. I want to show you somebody in the Bible. His name is Daniel. So I want you to open up the book of Daniel, chapter number 10. Daniel needed some help. Daniel had to overcome the devil. And he didn't know how to do it. So he did what he knew best. In Daniel, chapter number 10. In Daniel, chapter number 10. And verse number 2. In Daniel, chapter number 10. In verse number 2. I'm sorry, my page moved on me. In Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 2, the Bible says this. Again, my page got stuck together. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. When I lifted up mine eyes and looking, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the man that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quake fell upon them, and so they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone. And I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard a voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands, and said unto me, O Daniel, a man of greatly beloved, understanding the words that I speak to thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me once in 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came unto help me, and I remained there there with the king of Persia. So here we see that Daniel had a need. He was he needed some understanding. He wanted to understand what the Bible was teaching in the book of Jeremiah about the 70 years of ruin. But Daniel was trying to figure out what those years, how they began and when they would end and when they'd go home. And he was waiting on God to show him. And he began to pray, and he began to pray earnestly, and he prayed, and his praying turned into fasting. And he went 3 full weeks without eating. He was so desperate to know the mind and the will of God that for 21 days Daniel fasted and prayed and waited upon God. He was waging what we call spiritual warfare. Verse 19 says, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace unto thee. Be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now, he wasn't talking to God. He's talking to an angel that God sent to him. And he needed some help. The angel himself was delayed by the king of Persia, well, often referred to in Scripture as Satan himself. And so, Satan was getting to him. So, number one, there's some secrets that Daniel learned. We're going to learn about what those are. Number two, the physical battles are a reflection of spiritual battles. Physical battles are reflections of spiritual battles. If we can keep a right relationship with God, we can keep a right relationship with people. And so when we don't keep that right relationship with God, we often have problems with people. And our physical battles that we often go through are reflections of the spiritual battles that we're living. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So God's teaching you and I that how we respond to Him is often how the response that we're getting from the world. Sin affects your health. Sin affects my health. Sin will affect your health. In Psalms chapter 32, verses 1 through 5, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roarings all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and moisture turned into drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin. In my under thee, in my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. So here in Psalms we see that his physical condition was affected by a spiritual condition. Sin not only affects us, but it also affects all those around us. You know the story of Ai in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. How that Israel was told not to take anything in the city of Jericho. He told things that he wasn't supposed to steal, and God had put a curse upon that, and it had affected all of Israel when he sinned. And so they went to battle at Ai, and they failed in the battle. Joshua chapter 7 verse 11 it says Israel has sinned. Notice it didn't say that one person had sinned. It said Israel has sinned. So when one man sins, it affects all those around us. And they had also transgressed my covenant which I have commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Now the whole nation of Israel didn't do this. One man did this. One man. And because of that one man's sin, it affected the whole nation of Israel. Your sin and my sin affects those around us. Our relationship with others can be affected as our relationship with God is affected. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace, that your prayers be not hindered. So if we don't treat our wives right, we don't take care of our wives like we're supposed to, our prayers can be hindered. Proverbs 17, verse 5, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad of calamity shall not be unpunished. So, there we see another statement there. We mock people or are glad in calamities of others. God says it's going to affect you and me. So, these are examples of things that are going on. So, spiritual battles that you and I go through. The things that happen with us can affect many things. So, our life can affect our health. And sin can affect other people around you. And our relationship with God can be affected by our relationship with people. And God uses physical experiences to teach us sometimes about spiritual events. When He spoke about to Nicodemus about being born again, He was giving spiritual experiences to teach us about spiritual truths. So many things are used by God to help us to understand how He functions, how He works, and all the effects that these things have on us. Number three, spiritual battles affect us and they cause spiritual oppression. You cannot be possessed. Once you're saved, you're God's. You can never be possessed by the devil again. Possessed means to take ownership of. And you cannot be taken ownership of. But you can be oppressed. That means to be held, if you will, in captivity. Spiritual attacks, no one in this world is immune to. We all are going to go through spiritual attacks. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So here we see Peter is sins. Why? Because we're all affected by the spiritual world, or the physical world. Luke chapter 9, verse 54 through 55. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, saying, You know not the manner of the spirit ye are of. So sometimes we don't even understand how these things affect us. But no, everybody is affected by sin, and everybody can be brought into spiritual oppression by giving into the physical world around us. So we know the devil is against us, doesn't want us, attacks, wants to be like God. So here we see the world can affect you and I. No spiritual attack can affect your destiny. You're saved forever. But spiritual attacks can affect you physically. It can affect your attitudes towards God in your heart. It can bring on depression, get us to thinking about quitting. It can bring up anger and bitterness about people in the past. It can make us numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is trying to work with us. So it can affect our whole ability even to live. In Job chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, it says, Wherefore is light given unto him that is in misery, and life unto a bitter soul, which longeth for death, and it cometh not, and diggeth more than for hidden treasure, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad, wherein they can find the grave. Here we see that he wants to give up. He wants to die. Why? Because he's depressed. He's overcome by the things of the world around him. We see in 1 Kings when Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah after he was slain all the false prophets with the sword. He runs away and he's afraid. He's afraid because of the attack that could come. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. This woman of the world is going to attack him. So he runs. He's afraid. Jonah is afraid. He doesn't want the people in Nineveh to be delivered, so he finally does what God wanted to do. So he pretends that he's going to do what God wants him to do, I should say. And he runs off and gets in a ship, and he tries to go away from where God calls him to go. And of course, it wreaks havoc because he's afraid of how the world's going to respond. So the world's not our friend. The world's not our friend. Spiritual attacks then from the world can affect our thinking. It can cloud our minds. It can affect us in many ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So God isn't the author of confusion. Confusion is from the devil. And the world and the flesh and the devil can cloud our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and even high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, spiritual attacks can affect us in many ways. It can affect our ability to want to live. It can affect our ability to think. It can cloud our minds. It can cause trouble with those around us. It affects our attitude. It even affects others, as we saw a little while ago. As Achan affected the people of Israel because of his sin, and they lost the battle of Ai, and many people died as a result of that. We don't have to let this happen, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to go through this. We as Christians have the victory. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Because we are under grace, we don't have to give in. I'm a conqueror over sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. we need to amass a strong weapons that God has given to you and I, that we can have God strengthen us, that in our weakest times, He takes over and we allow Him to have the victory in our life rather than us try to give ourselves the victory. It never works. And God will give you and I the victory if we allow Him. So we need to amass this these weapons that God has for you. We're going to continue that next week. But most of our daily battles are really spiritual battles that we're unaware of or we're ill-prepared to meet head-on. So the aim of this study is to change you and me, arming us with biblical information that will make you and I stronger to stand against the wiles of the devil. He hates you. Satan hates you. He wants to have dominion over you. The world hates Christians. We see that very plainly in our day. In our flesh, even our own selves. There's no one that can lie to you like you can lie to yourself. And God says we don't have to live this way. So here's a little introduction to what our enemies are. And starting next week, we're going to learn more about understanding what our enemies are so that we can start to prepare to understand the weapons that God has given us for our warfare. Let's pray.